Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, October 10th. The seven states that depend on the depleted Colorado River have reached tentative agreements on how to manage the river during this record drought season. According to the Denver Post, the announcement Tuesday was a long-awaited step toward conserving the river, which supports 40 million people and 6,300 square miles of farmland in the U.S. and Mexico. A drought lasting nearly two decades has drained the river's two largest reservoirs, Lake Mead and Lake Powell, to near record low levels. The chances of a shortage in Lake Mead are 57% by the year 2020. The reservoir has never fallen low enough to trigger a shortage before. If it happens, mandatory cutbacks would hit Arizona, Nevada, and Mexico first. The drought contingency plans announced Tuesday are not designed to prevent a shortage in the river system, but to manage and minimize the effects. It will likely be next year before all seven states and the U.S. government approve the plans. Mexico agreed last year to participate in drought planning. Reaching the agreements was made difficult because the river is not controlled by a single agency. Instead, it is governed by interstate compacts, international treaties, and court rulings, known collectively as the Law of the River. The two major components of the plans cover the upper basin, where most of the water originates as Rocky Mountain snowfall, and the lower basin, which consumes more of the water because it has more people and more farms. Colorado, New Mexico, Utah, and Wyoming are in the upper basin. Arizona, California, and Nevada are in the lower basin. The lower basin plan is detailed and specific, but the upper basin plan outlines what steps the states would take if things get worse. And in another water story today, fish in the Colorado River have evolved over millions of years to withstand harsh conditions. The rushing, turbid water sculpted their bodies, making them well-equipped to handle its highs and lows. But human interference has caused a few species to nearly go extinct. Luke Runyon has more on the decades-long effort to boost their populations.
Dale Ryden and I are floating down a wide section of the Colorado River near the Colorado-Utah border on a gray raft. As tempting as the water looks, if either of us jumped in right now, we would be electrocuted.
It can actually probably be lethal to people if you get in there.
Ryden is a fish biologist with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. He and his coworkers are on rafts outfitted with a metal sphere the size of a disco ball hanging off of the front. It's sending an electric charge into the water.
To get at the animal we're studying, we have to actually find ways to capture them and take them out of their natural habitat. And so one of the ways we can do that is electrofishing.
The fish are momentarily stunned and pulled out of the water with nets. The mission today is to remove non-native fish, like smallmouth bass, which feed on four endangered species found in the river. Ryden's job is to find ways to help them survive.
They've actually been around longer than the big five Hawaiian islands that are around now. They've survived three explosions of the Yellowstone supervolcano. They were here when mastodons and woolly mammoths went extinct.
But within the last 100 years or so, Ryden says, dams and other water diversions have made life close to impossible for these fish, including the bony tail and the razorback sucker. Then, when you add in toxic chemicals, pharmaceuticals, and a slew of invasive fish...
We kind of call it the death by a thousand cuts, so they could survive any one of those problems probably fairly well. When you start throwing them all on top of them, then it becomes a lot more problematic.
About an hour into our trip, there's a flurry of activity on one of the rafts.
Oh, big pike minnow. Oh, nice fish.
That is huge!
We quickly paddle over to see the top predator on the river, the Colorado pike minnow. It's been listed as endangered for more than 50 years.
Back in the day, these guys used to get 6 feet long and 100 pounds.
This one is about 3 feet long. You could put your whole hand inside its mouth without touching the sides. It's pale green on top with a white belly, and it has a pink-colored tail shaped like a mermaid fin. Biologist Travis Francis scans a little chip inside the fish.
So we haven't seen this fish since 2004. It's so cool.
After it's measured and scanned, Dale Ryden gently picks it up, pulls it close to his body, and whispers. Did you catch that? He called the fish baby as he placed it back in the river.
I've earned a lot of respect for him that I think if you put that many issues in front of people that we had to adapt to in a very short amount of time, I think as a species we would have a very hard time existing in some of the world-changing conditions that these fish have.
Since 1988, endangered fish recovery programs along the Colorado River have cost hundreds of millions of dollars. And Ryden says it's paying off. Two species, the humpback chub and the razorback sucker, are on their way to being downgraded from endangered to threatened.
This is called the razorback sucker.
Even though the Endangered Species Act requires the government to save these fish, Ryden says it can be tough convincing the public that they're valuable. That's when the Morton family of mom Kate and kids Simon and Claire float by on their raft. Ryden calls them over.
Go ahead. Oh,
give it a pet.
Honey, it's having a
absolutely.
Hard time though.
Oh, it's fine.
Oh, yeah. Good. Wow. Isn't
that special?
An awesome fish.
When Dale Ryden first started working on the Colorado River, razorbacks were nearly wiped out. He didn't see one during his first 4 years on the job. Simon gently rubs his fingers along the fish's scales. Huh?
Wow. Some people even kiss him if you're really brave.
You want to give it a kiss?
I'll give it a kiss. Right on the cheek. Just go.
Aww.
So sweet.
Now, after years of stocking tens of thousands into some reaches of the river, they're plentiful enough to find one and give it a kiss. I'm Luke Runyon.
Finally today from the Montrose Daily Press, even though recent storms have brought rain to the region, it's too soon to tell what kind of water year is in store for 2019. Officials are projecting an El Niño pattern this winter, with much rain and snow, but it's unclear if that prediction will come true. Precipitation for the entire Gunnison River Basin was just 40% of average in September, and snowpack stood at less than 35% of average for inflows into the area's major reservoir, Blue Mesa. As of October 4th, Blue Mesa Reservoir stood at about one-third full, at 273,000 acre-feet. Single storms, no matter how promising, do not mean colder, wetter weather will continue, or that a strong winter will necessarily be enough to help the western slope dig its way out of this past year's extreme drought conditions. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, October 10th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.